Let us turn. Serve him, the honoring the faithful, and seek God. As to the mind, the intelligent, he had a good bit of chaff to be sifted out too. Did sift Peter as wheat. Satan sift Peter. Surely the coming strength of my little be. I've converted brethren. Fail not. He come at any moment. I have prayed for you. Serve the Lord in seeking to change. It's the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as of this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous. But he has his purposes to fulfill his to with men. Satan he allowed to with his purposes to fulfill his everything under, but he has control and will step in. So the Lord is shorten the day, of course, and then he'll come in judgment of the she have then in judgment in the end keeping the goats of Matthew to the 24th the Lord, and then his kingdom. This is, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities of our the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people that are called by thy name. Here we have the prayer of Daniel. Now what follows I'm going to read as we go along. But I want to speak, first of all, about this prayer. This ninth chapter of the book of Daniel is really a very important chapter. Of course, all the chapters in Daniel are important. The whole word of God is important. But there are 60 days scripture that stand out as having special significance. And this ninth chapter of Daniel as we have it here on the chart, which gives us what is known as the prophecy of the 70 weeks, stands out as a very important chapter in the understanding of the prophecy. Now, the background of this is that the children of Israel have been captive for about 70 years. And we saw, of course, that it was at the beginning of those 70 years that Nebuchadnezzar had the dream that Daniel was able to interpret, the dream of this image. And Daniel, in his interpretations, showed the king that that image really set forth prophetically the complete history of the times of the Gentiles. From Nebuchadnezzar, which was the first Gentile king, chapter B, that was recognized had a good bit of after the God, as to the mind of being the faithful away from Israel, serve him, the honor in the little while. Let us totally honor and serve him, and seeking the faithfulness to the mind of God. He had a good bit of the intelligence it out too, which after be sifted, didn't do it. Here is wheat. Sift Peter. Days of the Roman Empire, which will take place, of course, in the future, after this church period. So that during this time, as we've seen in these various chapters as we've gone along here, the children of Israel were captive in the land of Babylon. Now, as we saw when we were referring to the fourth chapter, to the fifth chapter rather, the kingdom or the rule of the Babylonian Empire ceased with Belshazzar, and the rule of the Medo-Persian Empire commenced. The Medo-Persian is typified by the arms and the breast of silver here, and also by the bear in the seventh chapter, and by the ram with two horns, one higher than the other, in the eighth chapter. This has now commenced, and it gives here in this ninth chapter the vision that Daniel, or rather what the Lord revealed to Daniel, as it says here, in the first year of Darius, the long appointed of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes. That is the Darius that took the kingdom and that conquered Belshazzar, slew Belshazzar, and began to reign. Daniel is very exercised as he sees the political of their threat, and he's been studying his Bible. In this, you know, Daniel is a wonderful example to us. They didn't have in those days the complete scriptures as we have them, but they had quite a fair part of the Old Testament. They had the books of Moses. They had the book of Kings. The two books of Kings were completed by that time. It's possible that they didn't have Chronicles. We weren't quite sure on that, whether Chronicles was written during, may have been, at least if the book wasn't written, all that it contained was known, because it's thought that Chronicles was written during the time of the Babylonian captivity or shortly afterwards. So anyhow, all of what we have in Chronicles was known with us. Contains the history as we have it in the books of Kings there, and the moral teachings and precepts that are brought out in Chronicles would be known to Daniel. All of the major prophets and many of the minor prophets had prophesied up to that time. That is, they had Isaiah. That prophecy was complete. Jeremiah's prophecy was complete with these and some of Ezekiel's truths. The Lord, what for hath evil upon the evil on us? Them with our God is of Haggai, but he has righteous fulfill his purposes. He has everything under control. So the Lord will step in, shorten the days. Solomon was complete. These all went back to the days of David and Solomon. So you see that Daniel had a large portion of the scriptures, and Daniel studied the scriptures. We learn that from this chapter. Daniel had been, as he saw the change that was taking place in the dynasty, he remembered that he'd been reading in Jeremiah. Daniel had been reading in the 24th of Jeremiah and in the 29th of Jeremiah, Daniel had been reading where the Lord said through Jeremiah that he would punish the children of Israel for 70 years in the Babylonian captivity. And at the end of that time, he would punish the king of Babylon and restore the children of Israel to their land. And now that the king of Babylon has been punished, now that the kingdom of Babylon has been overthrown, and Daniel sees this in the book of Jeremiah, he realizes also by the time that has elapsed, it must have been just about now 70 years, that it's time for the children of Israel to provide city to their land. God is going to take a remnant back to Jerusalem. And God is going to own Jerusalem. But I want to, not in the way he did before, but at least he's going to recognize a people there. Well, why does Daniel then set out, as we have it in this chapter, very important to humble himself and to pray for the nation and pray for the people and confess the sins of the nation? Why does he do that? Well, I believe one reason is this. As Daniel read the scriptures, and as Daniel looked at the state of the people, he realized that Daniel was not ready to go. Prophecy is known as the weeks. The 70, Daniel looked around, and he saw there in the Jews in Babylon with an round of this. Now the back was the real reason why Daniel takes this. That the children of Israel is exercised. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are exercised, but they're not mentioned anymore. They're, of course, way before this. Remember that Daniel was a young man, had the dream. Nebuchadnezzar, the time, 70 years have gone by, the dream image. Suppose he was 16 or 17 years old in his interpretation. And nearly 70 years have gone by. That makes Daniel a man over 80 years of course. It's thought that he lived to be of the time, history, Gentiles, times of the Gentiles, when we see the various mention of the kings under which he was. So Daniel, it's possible that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego may have died. But as Daniel looks around, no doubt he sees very few. Let us talk. They're not in a right state. Perhaps they're settled down in Babylon. Perhaps they're busy making money. You know, some think that the Jews got this great commercial propensity, that was what they learned in Babylon. They were an agricultural people before the Babylonian captivity. And as we know that now, they are a very commercial people. And some think that they learned that commercialism in Babylon. They never got taken up with Babylon's idols. I believe that God allowed them, because of their idolatry in the land of Israel, to be carried captive to the seat of idolatry, which was Babylon, so that they would get their fill of idolatry. And whatever faults the Jews have had since, they've never been guilty of being idolaters. And right to this present day, you never find the Jews an idolater. They're going to become idolaters. Here is set up there, as we were looking at the other, by the seventh chapter in desolation is set up in Jerusalem, and we'll refer to that a little higher than the other again. Then commenced any in Israel that will become idolaters, and that will be their greatest, Daniel, Lord revealed to them in the nation, along with the other, along with unto thee. Now, of the sea, too much time on this portion, I just want to stress this, the various, just point out briefly, the three divisions that we have in Daniel's prayer. Now the first part of Daniel's eyes, as he, that he's confessing the sins of the nation. Daniel, not personally guilty, wonderful example, but take it, they did as one of the days the complete, Daniel does, we have them. They had quite people, Israel, have sinned. They had Daniel doesn't books of Moses. Lord, your people have sinned. What had the Daniel says we have sinned. Daniel wasn't personally responsible, but he takes his place as one of the nation. And you know, beloved, that's what we have to do. If God's nails was written, we can't stand up them and point to them and tell because people that they have done all this and isolate ourselves from them. We have to own our part in the failure that has come in. We have to confess that we are part of Christendom that has failed. And as we see the failure even among the ascetic teachings of people, we have to take our part in it and we have to say we have failed. That's what Daniel did. And if the people weren't confessing their sins themselves, he was confessing the sins of the nation. Jeremiah's prophet hearing his prayer. And I believe it's always like that, that there have to be a few who are willing to say we, and not just to say you, to say we when it comes to the failures of the Lord's people. And maybe those ones are in obscurity, and they never receive a great deal of praise for what they do. But the Lord sees it. David and Saul saw this. This was no doubt a personal thing with Daniel, right there in the Lord's presence in his own home. But God has seemed pleased to put it in the Scriptures, that we might learn the lessons from it. So in the first part, from verse 4 to verse 10, we have his confession of the failure of Israel. He seeks the Lord's face. And you notice that he says in verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we've rebelled against him. To us belongs confusion of face, Daniel says. Of Israel, to the Lord belongs forgiveness. Then, now that the king has been punished, in verse 14, we have that Daniel reminds this in the book of God, of the curse that is. After confessing the sins of the people, he really says, now, Lord, because we've committed sins, we recognize that we deserve of Israel to their land, to take a remnant. God is going to judge us for these to Jerusalem. We deserve it. He doesn't say, well, the nation deserves it, but I don't. No, he did before. We deserve it, Lord. He's part of the nation that's failed. We deserve it. Where does Daniel lead this lets us see again how Daniel had been studying his Bible, because he refers twice here in verse 11 and 13 to the law of Moses. Why did he mention the sins of the nation of Leviticus? He'd been reading one reason. Well, I believe, and he'd seen there that, as Daniel says, that if they followed, Daniel looked at the word God, he'd bless them. And if they departed from him, he'd bless them. So he says, Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, we deserve to be judged. But then, after confessing the sin, and after recognizing Babylon, deserved the curse, then what is Daniel ground of this? He casts, and Daniel takes this sea of God. He casts the nation on God's mercy. He says, Lord, we've sinned, we deserve nothing but judgment. But, Lord, for thy name's sake, have mercy on us. And that's what we have, verse 15, right down through verse 19 to the end of the prayer. You see, he says, we have sinned. He reminds the Lord how he brought them out of the land of Egypt. He'd been studying that. And fourth, we've sinned that he lived to be. And in verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy holy city, Jerusalem. And he reminds the Lord that they're the Lord's people, and they've become a reproach. And that the Lord's name was being reproached because his people were under reproach. And then he says in verse 18, notice, he tells the Lord in the latter part of the verse, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. He's not talking about anything righteous with them. No, how could he when he's confessed their sin? But he says, thy mercies, Lord, for thy great mercies, show mercy to taken up with battle. And he asked to show mercy to this people. Idolatry in the land, their idolatry, to show mercy to them. Captive to the Lord's going to show mercy to them by filling them. And whatever, promised that he would, they've never them back to their land. And right, idolaters. Today, you never find to this present that in answer to Daniel's prayer, mercy was shown to those in Babylon by the size before God. Now, when we actually come to study the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, we find it was a very, very small percentage of the people, the Jews that lived in Babylon, that returned. A very small percentage. But they're who were exercised. And the Lord forgave them in the come back. And we know Now, the historical part of it, as we read Israel, I now to spread this point out briefly the 3D lesson for us to always be reminded of the prayer of Daniel when, as we realize the failure of the people of God. Let us be willing to own that Daniel failed and that we have failed. But take it now that we find Daniel does the complete to Daniel in verse 20. It says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, because you see, he doesn't just confess the people's sins and not his own. He says, my sin and the sin of my people. Daniel, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. We have to, at the beginning, in the application, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Daniel got the answer by the Lord sending a special messenger to him. God did that in Old Testament times. He doesn't do that now. Why doesn't the Lord send the angel Gabriel to give people information like this today? Or speak to us as appear to us as he did to Abraham and various others? Well, for one thing, because the failure was not complete. Maybe their coming of this man's are in to Daniel and the purity of the revelation of what they do that is embodied sees it. Yes. Saw this. And this part of no doubt of God was still forming the scriptures. And the Lord's prayer in the things took place after the scene pleased the scripture was ended. Even John in Revelation had a special message from verse 4 to him. You remember that he fell at his feet to worship him. And he had to tell John not to do it, that he was his fellow servant, because the word of God wasn't complete. But since the word of God is complete, God doesn't revelations like that. Secondly, we today against the Spirit. The Lord, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We have the completed word of reason forgiveness, and we have God's Holy Spirit indwelling us. God is not making any further revelations to us than what's in the word. And all the verse 4 to know, we have it in the Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Curse the and you find it. Try to get further revelations than what's given in the Word, because we've play into things, evil spirits recognize will pretend to give them revelation to their land. These are not things that are pleasing. For these, the Word of God is complete. All that God wants to reveal to us, he's now given us in the scriptures of truth. And so nothing needs to be added, and of course nothing is to be taken away. And we have that very specially mentioned in the last book, last chapter of Revelation, that we're not either to add nor to take away from the word of God. But the Lord sent Gabriel to speak to Daniel and to give him, not only to tell him that his prayer was heard, but to give him a wonderful revelation of the future, to show him a picture of the history of his people right down until until everything in the law into complete subjection to the will of God in the millennial reign. One more thing we notice here is when the angel came. When did the angel come to speak to Daniel? At the time of the evening oblation, it says in verse 21. The evening sacrifice. We've sinned nothing but judgment to see that nothing is ever received by a human being from God apart from sacrifice. This evening oblation speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to us of that one who shed his precious blood for us. And when this offering was offered up, it was that that spoke of Christ. We receive nothing apart from Christ. Daniel received nothing apart from Christ. Daniel looked on to Christ, and we look back to Christ. We be turned. All is through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people now come a reproach. Find that the angel says, or reproached because he was being under reproach. He says to Daniel, verse, think of thy supplication, the command 18, he tells the Lord, and I am cut of the verse thee, for thou not present thee beloved before righteousness. The place where Daniel is called one whose mercies are great. Daniel was a man who lived with them, close to the Lord. Could he when he's... And that's why the Lord can show him the future. He prays a great mercy for thy... And he's occupied with the... And taken up with battle. But God lets him see that the immediate restoration of Israel now, of a remnant to Jerusalem, to rebuild the wall and the temple, is just them. All thing in comparison to the Father. And whatever... And finally them back will come to them in the millennial reign idolaters. And so this is what the angel tells him. Now I'm going to read this. 70 weeks, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined or apportioned out upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Six things are told that are to be done. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks minded of, 4 and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall even in troublous times. And after 3 and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Or as the margin says, Messiah shall be cut off and have nothing, because that's what it really means. While I was sick, it says that he was cut off, and as far as Israel was concerned, he had nothing. He was cut off out of the land of the living. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation show thee, and that determined shall be. Therefore on the desolate, the matter and... Now you say, this, some of you might be... But the answer, Daniel got very strange, we don't understand. Special mess sending us. What is this about 7th in Old Testament? And 7 weeks. Do that now. He doesn't the Lord say, why this? And 1 week. Well, what the Lord is saying to Daniel is, like this today. The years to us as being completed in the captivity of Israel. Various others. Abraham and the future is close to the failure. 70 weeks. Yes, this word weeks here could be translated purity, weeks of days or weeks of years or weeks of months. What they do. He means 77s. Saw this from what happened, that it really means weeks of years. In the Lord's 9 years to build the wall and restore the city. And that's exactly what it was said here. It says, know therefore that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem shall be 7 weeks. And then it says, the street and the wall shall be built in troublous times. Now, to get what that means, we have to go to the book of Nehemiah. We won't turn to it tonight. But in the second chapter of Nehemiah, we find the king giving a commandment that Nehemiah is to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. Now, there was a previous commandment given to this. And Ezra went back. It was about 13 years before. And he was working on the temple. But than what the command referred to here. The command referred to here was when Nehemiah was officially sent to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. All commentators on the prophecies agree. The word Nehemiah's, that Nehemiah, God wants to, receiving from the king the commission, was the beginning of these 70 weeks. And we have that, as I said, in the second Nehemiah, and it is the year 445 B.C. That was when Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to begin building the wall. And we get the troublous times of the building of this wall in the book of Nehemiah. Very, very interesting reading. and how they built the wall, and how the different ones built, some over against his house and some over against his chamber, and some of the nobles worked, and the ordinary people worked, and some of the sisters are mentioned in it, and everybody had something to do. It's a very interesting study in itself. And then we get all the opposition that they had. The enemy tried to hinder them in this way and that way, but they finally finished the wall, and Jerusalem was completely built up, and it took 49 years. It took 7 weeks. And that is marked here, of course, by this first set of sacrifice, or 49 years. Then we get of the Lord of the two or six Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks are of course one who for this offering, when this was offered up, that spoke. We receive 9 years there, 483 years old. Daniel Christ, nothing apart from to restore Daniel, and we look back up to Messiah the Prince. All is in one evening. The person the work of yes. Become a reproach, rebuilding of the wall, and the reproach because in the coming of the Lord to earth, we get very little about it. Verse being called the 400 silent, he tells the Lord Malachi and Matthew. We do get the book of Ezra and the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, the place where righteousness is, that give information about that time. Then we have the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, and then a little after them Malachi. And nothing is mentioned then from Malachi to Christ, which was about 400 years. And that was a time of trial for the Jews, but it's not brought in here at all, just except to be mentioned as part of that 62 weeks. Because it's bringing it, it's telling us what took place at the end of that time, and also what is going to take place in the future when this last week is unfolded. Verse 24 tells us here, it says, and or appoint people. 20 weeks are determined in order to accomplish six things. And I read that in verse 24, and all of these things are yet future. To finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy or the Holy of Holies, these are yet future as far as Israel's concerned. The basis of them, of course, was laid at the cross. The Lord Jesus, when he died, he shed his precious blood to make reconciliation for iniquity. The Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, did the work that is going to make an end of sins. But we know that as far as this earth's concerned, and as far as the people of Israel's concerned, there's not an end of sins. Reconciliation for iniquity has not been effected as far as they nationally are concerned yet. The cross is the basis of it, because the future blessing of Israel rests on the same basis, beloved, as our blessing, as the blessing of any sinner today. If there's an unsaved one here tonight, friend, your eternal blessing depends on your acceptance of the precious blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. And that's going to be the same for Israel. And these things that are mentioned here will only be effected finally for them on that same basis, when they recognize that that one who died on Calvary's cross is the one who there shed his precious blood for their salvation. Then it goes on and says in verse 26, after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off and have nothing. So the 7 and the 62 weeks are going to end, and then after that Messiah is cut off. I suppose that should be shown ending a little bit before there, really, because the cross really comes after the end of the 62 weeks, of the 69 weeks altogether. And you know, those who studied this, there's a book written called The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson, who was a British student of prophecy in the last century, and he traced it out, and he says that from the command given to Nehemiah in the second chapter of Nehemiah's prophecy was exactly 483 years to the day when the Lord rode into Jerusalem on the ass and presented himself to the people as their king. So it says after that 69 weeks, Messiah was to be cut off. Well, it was just a day or two after. The Lord was crucified. The Lord comes and presents himself to them as their king. He rides on the ass according to the prophecy, meek and lowly. And what do they say? Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, as we have it in the 118th Psalm. And then the people ask, who is this? And what's the answer? This is our king that's going to reign over us? No, they don't say that. They say, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. The Lord was to them was just another man, perhaps a prophet like some other prophet. That's all they saw in him. And they're persuaded, those very people that say that, that cry out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, they're persuaded by their chief priests and scribes and the leaders of the people, just shortly afterwards, to say, away with him, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us. And the Lord is cut off. And as far as Israel's concerned, as far as the Jewish people are concerned, he has nothing. He's cut off out of the land of the living, as the prophecy says. Of course, it doesn't take up his redemptive work here. That's not what this prophecy is referring to. We get that elsewhere in Scripture. Just as he's cut off and has nothing. It looks like it from here, as if the Lord's coming to this earth was null and void. He's cut off and he gets nothing. And as far as Israel's concerned, as a nation, that is true. Is the nation of Israel been recognized as anything for the Lord all these 1900 years since then? Absolutely nothing. Other scriptures show us, of course, that God is still calling out a remnant from them, and he's saving souls from all over the world, from among the Gentiles. The Lord brought out his mystery of the church, as we have it in the second and third chapters of Ephesians, and his eternal purpose to call out the church to be a bride for his son, that was brought out. But Israel has been set aside. Jerusalem trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But then it goes on and speaks about what's going to take place at the close. We have 1 week left. During this period of the church, the prophetic clock has stopped. 69 weeks has ticked out on the dial, and the clock stopped, like the old grandfather's clock that stopped when the old man died. And it's not going to start up again until the Lord comes and takes the church away. Maybe not right then either, but because there may be an interval. But at least we know that after the Lord takes the church away, then at the time that the Lord appoints, the clock will start up again. The clock stopped just before even the Lord's crucifixion. And that was certainly, we know, 50 days before the day of Pentecost that the clock stopped, before this period started. And after the Lord takes the church away, it's very possible that we'll go on perhaps a little period there, but at the God's appointed time, we're not told exactly, but we know that after the rapture of the church, that clock is going to start up. And 7 years are going to run out. So we know, beloved, that if the Lord were to come tonight, he shed his precious when he died, to make reconciliation blood for iniquity, reconciliation for Jesus when the cross did, he died on the cross, is going to make the work of sins, make an end of so that as far as, but we know concerned, as this earth, as far as the and as concerned people of Israel, there's no sins, not an end of reconciliation. For iniquity, in what we read, we'll endeavor to explain it. It says in verse, the Messiah shall be cut off and have nothing. Verse 26. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now who's the prince that shall come? The prince that's going to come is this little horn that we saw here in the seventh chapter. The Roman prince who is going to come and is going to conquer three of the nations in Europe there, and eventually establish himself as a dictator over the whole revived Roman Empire that will be composed of 10 nations. He is the prince that shall come. He's the one that's called the beast, the first beast in Revelation 13. He is the coming world dictator. He's the prince that shall come. Now, it doesn't say that he destroys the city, but it says the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. After the Lord's crucifixion, it was the people of Rome that came and destroyed the city. We already referred to this when we're taking up the second chapter, that in the year 70 AD, just about 40 years after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Roman general Titus came against Jerusalem and besieged it and finally took it and led the Jews captive among all nations, where they've been ever since. And we have lived to see, of course, a remnant of them going back again, and Israel recognized as a nation. But the majority of the Jews are still scattered among the Gentile nations of the world. They've been there since this since the people of the prince that is coming would destroy the city and the sanctuary. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was completely destroyed. Not one stone was left upon another. Then it says in the same verse 26, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Or as the New Translation reads it, and unto the end war the desolations determined. And that covers the whole present period of the church as far as Jerusalem's concerned. If we read history, we find that the history of Jerusalem has been a history of wars. And in fact, the history of every Gentile nation has been a history of wars. What do we learn about history when we go to school? What are the dates that stand out in our minds when we go to school? Well, I suppose it's the same in the United States as it was with me. Well, when I was a boy, I could remember that we learned that this war was fought in this year. The Battle of Hastings was in 1066, and so forth and so on. And we had to learn the dates of the wars, that the wars of the countries, that the Gentile nations, their history is characterized by their wars. And I'm sure that the United States is the same, that the children in school learn the year that the War of Independence and the year of the Civil War. And of course, we've all lived, the oldest of us here have lived to see the War of 1914 and the last, what we call the Second World War. That's the history of the nations, the history of wars. Unto the end war, desolations determined, and Jerusalem has been desolate. Now, of course, the land of Israel is, some of it's in the hand of the Jews again, but the old city is still in the hand of the Arabs. The old city of Jerusalem is still desolate, and much of the land of Israel is still in the hands of the Arab people. You know, someone has said the Lord put a caretaker to care for Palestine for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the people that he put to care for the land just let it go desolate, and that's what Palestine was. The Jews are making it flourish where they get hold of it, but the land has been desolate for 1900 years, and that's just what the scripture says here. And as we see it beginning to bud again, it only lets us see that we're getting very near the commencement of this 70th week. Then we find in verse 27, and he, that's this prince that shall come, this prince that shall come, this dictator, this beast of the 13th Revelation, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That means this, that after the Lord takes the church away, that the head of the Roman Empire is going to confirm a covenant with the majority of the Jews. It's really the many, the majority, with the majority of the Jews for 7 years. Now, I'm not sure whether this confirm a covenant means that he's going to make the covenant, or he's going to confirm a covenant already made. It could be either. It could be that a covenant has already been made, that a 7-year pact, or a pact of a certain amount of time, has been made. supposing that it was made for a longer period before that, at least he's going to confirm it. Or it may be a seven-year pact has been made, and when he comes on the scene, he confirms what's already been made. Or it may be, of course, that he makes it. But anyhow, this pact is what is called in the 10th of Isaiah the agreement with hell, with death and with hell. The Jews no doubt will make this pact with the head of the Roman Empire because of their fear of Russia and of the King of the North. They'll be afraid. And the Roman Empire will promise them protection, will allow them to re-establish their religion, the temple will be rebuilt, and for a while it'll look as if everything's going very lovely. That shall come, full of the prince, destroy the city, come shall destroy in the sanctuary. Who's the prince that... Now who shall come? It's going to come. The prince that is this little lamb we saw here, the horn that we after in the seventh Roman prince, the Roman who is going to come. He's going to conquer and is three of the... It seems that in the middle of the week, or the dividing of the week it really is, I don't believe it takes place quite in the middle. I believe there's going to be, the week is going to be divided as we have it here, 30 days before the first 3.5 years. That is, it'll be about 3 years and 5 months. And then the great tribulation will begin. And what's the cause of this great tribulation? There are two main things that cause the great tribulation. One is that Satan is cast out of heaven. Satan's cast out of heaven. And he comes down to the earth. We get that mentioned in the 9th chapter of Revelation, and we also get it mentioned in the 12th chapter. He's cast down from heaven, knowing, and he comes down having great wrath, knowing that his time is short. And it seems then that the Roman beast will come completely under his control. Satan will completely control the head of the Roman Empire. Also, just at this time, about the dividing of the week, that's when this abomination of desolation set up. As this man comes completely under satanic control, he's going to claim divine honors for himself. And the Antichrist who's in Israel, he will set up in the temple an image to this Roman beast and order all the Jews to worship it. He'll make the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That is, he'll stop the Jewish worship. The Roman prince will cause the Jewish worship to stop, and the Antichrist will no doubt receive orders from him that all the people have got to worship the image of the beast instead of worshiping the Lord. It'll be the complete deification of man. God is going to then allow an invasion from the north to come down. We saw that in our last study about on the 8th and 11th chapters, that little horn will come down, the Grecian little horn that we get mentioned in the 8th chapter. He will come down against Palestine. And God will allow that as the great tribulation that will come upon the land of Israel. It's going to be a terrible time. It'll be the overflowing scourge, as Isaiah says, that will pass through the land. And God will allow it as his judgment upon the people of Israel for all their sins that they've committed. And especially for this final sin of turning to idolatry and worshipping a man and worshipping the image of a man. But of course the end is going to be that the Lord himself is going to come in right at the very end and put a stop to it all and bring in his judgment. But you know, in the end of Daniel, it says, it mentions 1260 days, but it also mentions 1290 days. And I like to link that up with what we have in the 24th of Matthew, when it speaks about the great tribulation, that it's such a terrible time. It says, except those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. That is, I believe, if God allowed the tribulation to run on to the end of the 7 years, Satan would persuade wicked men to wipe themselves off the face of the earth. And it may be that that's what the enemy, what Satan is eventually going to try and do. We know now, we've lived long enough in this world, in our day, to see man having in his own hands the power of his own destruction. Look at the scare there was over Cuba. I believe each side was really scared, the leaders, for fear the other one would let loose an atom bomb. And I believe Russia was just as scared as the United States was. And neither side wants to let it loose because they know what can happen. But it's quite possible that Satan is reserving this, that finally when he comes down and knowing his time is short, that he is going to finally try and blot out the human race that's left on the earth to completely frustrate the purposes of God. Supposing every person were to perish off the earth during the Great Tribulation, God's purpose for earth would be destroyed, would be frustrated. Such a thing can't be. And that's exactly what it says. It says that if the Lord didn't shorten the days, no flesh would be saved. Maybe they would let loose some of these bombs and would destroy every human being. God, the Lord won't allow it. He'll step in just at the right time. You know, that's a wonderful comfort, beloved brethren. We Christians shouldn't be worried about political events going on in the world. We know that nothing can happen that's not allowed of the Lord. When the Lord said to the church at Smyrna in the second Revelation, thou shalt have tribulation 10 days, that meant that they wouldn't have it 11 days. The Lord has everything under his control. Satan can only go as far as the Lord allows. And the Lord will allow Satan to act as he does during the Great Tribulation to fulfill his purposes for judgment. Look what the Lord allowed Satan to do to Peter. He says, Peter, Satan's desire to have you, that is you, you there is the plural, of course, but I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for you personally, Peter, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Satan did sift Peter as wheat. And Peter had a good bit of chaff to be sifted out too. But they had the Lord's prayer for him. And Satan was not allowed to do one more thing to Peter. It's going to be divided. The wheat is, have it here, divided as we have 30 days before this be 3.5 or 3 of the first. That is, it'll be years. Isn't 5 months. It'll be about 3 years. Then tribulation, the great will begin. And what is the great tribulation? Cause of this to the 24th of Matthew, and then the Lord will establish his kingdom. And it may be that this extra 45 days will take us right up to the beginning of the millennial reign. That's not very plain. But we do have these three dates mentioned in the last chapter of Daniel. And we'll see that when we get along further. Now I just want to point out one more thing, that as we go through both Daniel and Revelation, we have the period of the Great Tribulation mentioned in three ways. It's called time, times, and half a time, which is 3.5 years. 1 year, 2 years, and half a year. 3.5 years. It's called 42 months, which is also 3.5 years. It's called 1260 days. The prophetic year, remember, is always 360 days, never 365. I don't know. I believe from various references in Scripture that the year originally was exactly 360 days. And somehow or other, through some of the things that God allowed through man's sin, the earth got a little bit further away from the sun, and it just takes that little bit further to go around. But it's quite possible that God might allow some great catastrophe to take place when the rapture takes place that will cause the sun to take exactly 360 days to go around the earth again. Because in prophecy, the year is always 360 days, never 365 and a quarter as it is now. So that 3.5 years is, or rather 1260 days is 3.5 years. So whichever way we look at it, time, times, and time and a half, 42 months, or 1260 days, it's the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And then the Lord will come in and stop it. His purposes will be fulfilled. And as I said, we don't get that any further here in this chapter. But the Lord then comes in to judge and to establish his reign. As far as the Lord gives us the picture of the history of Israel. And beloved, as we said before, we are very near to the end of this period. Peter, the Lord's return, or that we might be more faithful as we realize that that day is approaching in seeking to serve the Lord. For you, I have prayed for you, come at any moment, fail not, brethren. So I have converted, little be, strengthen my body. Surely the coming, sift Peter, Satan, here is wheat. Sift Peter, did to it. It out too. Chapter to be sifted, had a good bit of the intelligence as to the mind of God and seeking to faithfully honor and serve him in the little while that remains.